ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Is everyone ready? Chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Ready? I suppose you'll tell me if you're not, right? Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdhva Mula Madashakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam Chandamsi Asya Parnani Yastam Veda Chaveda Vid Adashchordvam Prashritas Tasya Shaka Guna Pravrida Vishaya Pravala Adascha Mula Nanushantatani Karma Nubandini Manusha Loke Narupamasye Hatato Palavyate Nanto Nachadir Nacha Sampratishta
Ashvatthamenam Suvaruta Bhulam Asanga Shastrena Gridhena Chitva Chatapadam Tat Parimargitavyam Yasmin Gatana Nirvatanti Bhuya Tameva Chadyam Purusham Prapadye Yatapraviti Prashita Purani Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama Tvanverva Mukta Sukha Dukha Sanje Gachantya Mura Paramavyayanta Na Tad Vasayate Shuyo Na Shashanto Nupavakaha Yadgatva Na Nirvartante Tadama paramam mama mamaivam sho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah manakshasta indriyani prakriti stani karshati shariram yadavapnoti yachapyu kramatishvarah grihitvaitani samyati Vayurgandam Vibhashaya Chakshusparshanam Cha Rasanam Granameva Cha Adhishtayam Manashchayam Vishayan Upasevate Ukramantam Stitam Vapi Unjanam Vangunam Vitam Vimudhanana Pashyanti Pashanti Gana Chakshushaha Yatanto Yoginashchayam Pashantyatman Yavastitam Yatanto Pyakritatmano Nam Pashantya Chetasaha Adadita Gatam Tejo Jagad Vasayate Kilam Yachchandramasi Yachchagno Tatejo vidimamakam Dhamma vishya cha bhutani Dharayam yaham ojasa Pushnami chausadi sarva Somo bhudvara satmakaha Aham vaishva naro bhutva Praninam deham ashritaha Pranapana samayukta Pachanyanam Chaturvidam Sarvasya Chaham Vridhi Sannivishto Matak Smitir Ganam Apohanam Cha Vedaisha Sarve Ahameva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Veda Vedeva Chaham Dvavima Purusha Loke Sharas Chakshara Eva Cha Shara sarvani bhutani kutasto shara uchate purushastvanya paramatmetyutarita yoloka trayamavishya hibhartavya ya ishvaraha charamatito ham aksharada pichotamaha atos loke Kecha pratita purushottama Yam evam masambudho janati purushottamam Sasarva vid pachatimam sarvabhavena bharata Iti guyatamam shastram idam upvam mayanaga Etad budva budiman syat Krita Krita Shabharata Om Tat Saditi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidya Yam Yoga Shastri Shri Krishna Juna Sambhare Purushottam Yoga Nama Panchadasham Odhyayaha Hari So, when one chants the Bhagavad Gita, one comes directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of God. It, in fact, There's no difference at all between Arjuna's being on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and hearing the Bhagavad Gita Krishna from Krishna and our chanting the Bhagavad Gita now, because it is as absolute sound vibration. It's not different from Krishna. Therefore, in these ceremonies, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we open the door for the spiritual energy to enter into our environment and into our hearts. Having done that, now we need to have the chanting of the holy name while we are performing the first grains, while we're giving Myra her first grains. So we'd like one of our kirtaniyas to lead a kirtan. Who's raising their hand? Kirtaniya? Someone would like to lead a simple kirtan. I'll tell you when to start and stop. You? Okay. Just sing and they'll follow you. Just Hare Krishna. Simple tune. Hare Krishna. I'm going to keep... Okay. Sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Not too loud.
Thank you.
Let the record show that Myra has taken her first grains and she liked them very much. Now, as far as divining her future and her proclivities in life, we've put before her Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, gold, and huge stacks of cash. I don't see any credit cards here, so I don't know if it'll be as effective. But if you'll put her in between the two, come as close as you can, because she's a little young for crawling and choosing, but you want to put her as close to the two items as possible, and let her choose for herself. Don't cry out very loudly, because if she does touch one and choose it and you cry too loudly, she'll be traumatized and then change her mind. What I would suggest, Myra, is perhaps you can look at the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which you see here with a beautiful bright cover, or if you so choose, this is gold. Hare Krishna.
Yes. She'll
choose. Oh. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Let the record show she's decisively chosen the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Very decisively. And she's not the slightest bit traumatized by our cheering. This means she will become a stalwart devotee of Lord Krishna. She'll have a great taste for the Bhagavad Gita and teaching it to other people. And she'll relish reading the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout her life. We pray that Myra will become an empowered devotee to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. She'll be healthy, happy, a great delight to her parents, a friend to all living entities, and will go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Everyone who agrees with this, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
I hereby declare this first grain ceremony for Myra to be a complete success. Gaur Premanande Haribol! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. first offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you who are present here today, as you are all Vaishnavas, and therefore you are the most worshipable of all. Hare Krishna. Also, if more people come, or if you feel that you don't want to stand, we have a whole area up here, which you can we can fit at least another 40, 50 people. Loka, do you you want to inform me about the schedule?
Yes, so it's 8 o'clock, and we have till 9:15, so...
Do you have a film you're going to show? Are you going to do that or not?
I don't think that's good, because that's, you already shown that video, that thing you don't know about.
Okay.
So you can just have boards that we can show, and then you can just make the announcements and the info.
You'll do.
I'll do it, and then you can speak a little bit about it before.
Okay. At 8, at 9:15?
We can start doing that around maybe 8:45 or 8:50.
Okay.
15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Ekadesha Stitasya Agner Jyotishna. Tonight, I'm going to speak about three principles that you can easily remember and that will transform your lives in very positive ways and that will allow you to take advantage of all the benefits of human life, feel satisfied, and be of help to people all over the world. Does that sound reasonable? Okay. So these I call the three, these are what I call the keys to inner fulfillment. And the first of the keys for this inner fulfillment and setting oneself up for a progressive life is gratitude. Gratitude is actually a way of adjusting the way we look at the world, and it transforms us when we see things, when we're grateful for what we have. Actually, it's a type of attitude, and one of the benefits of being a human is that we can adjust our attitude at any time. It may not stay there permanently when we adjust it, but if we have an idea about what the best attitude is, we can cultivate an attitude, as an attitude is really based on our philosophy about life, why we're here and what the goal of life is. So the first concept in remembering this or being able to change one's attitude is a concept I thought about frequently and spoken about, and that is that each one of us is a container. If you look around, you'll see others sitting around you. And just adjust the way you look at each person when you see them and notice that they're a container. We hold within us contents. And the word content and content is spelled the same. And if you have the right content, then you'll be content. And it's our choice of what we hold within us and what we take into our minds and hearts. Remembering this helps us to be self-determining and to adjust our attitude, because our attitude has a lot to do with what we allow to come into our life. There's a concept I spoke about yesterday, which is important to remember, and that is that
each one of us has an appreciating capacity. Ultimately, as mentioned in the Vedas, eko bahu sham, this is a very philosophical point, and that is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is one, but the Absolute Truth expands itself into many for pleasure, for ananda, because one can't enjoy, but when there's variety, then there's enjoyment. And we have the same characteristics as the Supreme Enjoyer, because we emanate from him, but our role is slightly different. He's the enjoyer, and he's the origin of everything, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita. And we are parts of him. And we read that just in the Bhagavad Gita a few seconds ago, when we read the 15th chapter, which says, where Krishna says that every living entity is a fragmental part of me. So we have that same spiritual nature that Krishna has. But as small sparks, our role is appreciators. In fact, if there weren't unlimited appreciators, there would be really not much meaning to being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because if there's no one there to appreciate you, what would be the purpose? Where would be the ananda? So how many living entities are there? Asankhya, which means they're uncountable. So the Supreme Lord is unlimited. He expands himself unlimitedly. And each one of the living entities has an eternal dharma, which is to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if that helps, you can quit your jobs and just appreciate Krishna. This is actually our only duty, and our dharma, eternal dharma, is to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we do that, then we actually enjoy, because he's unlimitedly attractive, and there's a way in which we can go on appreciating him eternally, because he's always increasing in all his qualities. So we're eternal appreciators. It's only a matter then of increasing our appreciating capacity. And the practice of bhakti is meant to open our appreciating channels so that we can appreciate Krishna more and more. There's a saying that by Voltaire, appreciation is a wonderful thing. It makes what is excellent in others belong to us as well. Queen Kunti says a similar thing. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt. There are two cars, 2793, ending with like a black or bluish car, and a car which has on the front plate drive through. They're very awkwardly parked, almost blocking the main road. So if that's your car, please move them around. 2793 and drive through.
Not at all. I felt maybe we won something. You've won a brand new. So Voltaire said, whatever you appreciate in others, those qualities you take on yourself. Queen Kunti said a similar thing. Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. That when you appreciate the devotional service of others, then you also advance. It's an interesting phenomena. And similarly, just as in investing, financial investing, you get appreciation, hopefully, for your investments. And similarly, the saying, whatever you appreciate, appreciates. It grows in your life. So these are some principles of gratitude. And it's like a switch. We can flip at any time to look at the world in a different way. Shukadeva Goswami brings this up at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he tells Parikshit Maharaj to notice that you're actually resting on the body of God. He goes on to mention that the mountains are the stacks of the Lord's bones, the trees are the hairs on the body of the universal form of the Lord. The rivers are veins.
Yep.
And if you've ever had a little ant crawl on your arm, you might wonder what the ant's seeing. He may not be aware of the fact that he's walking on a being. He's aware of the fact that there's obstacle course and so forth that he's walking through. He's not aware. There's a living being inside that body. So similar way, I may be traversing the earth, commuting to work, moving through my life, and I don't even have the perspective that I'm on the body of the divine, supreme personality of Godhead. But Shukadeva Goswami brings this to the attention of Preekshit Maharaj, said, notice this. And also notice that it's a benevolent environment. There are arrangements made for every living entity here. He points to the trees and says that the trees are providing fruits. And fruits, if you're into product design, are very well designed. You've noticed that an apple, for instance, has the thinnest of wrappers, very tightly wrapped around the product, and it preserves it very well. And if you take off that peel inside, you have a very healthy and nourishing foodstuff. And if you keep going a little further, when you come all the way to the end, then what do you get?
Seeds.
Which is a miracle unto itself, the seeds. I mean, what is a seed? If you take one of the little apple seeds in your hand and look at it, you might think it's insignificant. But it's highly significant because it can reproduce a whole tree with a whole bunch of apples. I might just take this for granted. I might not even think where an apple comes from. And I may bypass the whole opportunity to be grateful for what I've been given. But if I cultivate gratitude, for instance, if I accept an apple and think about it, how it was given to me as a gift, it was wrapped nicely, and I'm offered a chance to grow more of them if I like. Just have to put them in the right environment. And the ingredients to make it grow are already there, the sun, the air, water, earth. And then you can grow trees. You can grow a whole orchard of trees. So who thought of that? There's so much design that we can appreciate within the world itself and have gratitude for. So the first item of developing inner fulfillment is to develop this gratitude, appreciation for what's going on right now. We heard in the chapter we just chanted that Krishna says the intelligence that you're getting is coming from me. I'm providing that for you. And oftentimes I take it for granted that I just have intelligence. But actually, he says it's being provided. And if you notice it, you might see that it's coming from a superior source. I'm waiting for it. I'm expecting it. In very few instances am I actually grateful for it. But if I notice it, I could become grateful for it. Jonas Salk, who invented the polio vaccine, said that he had been working on his project for a long time and was desperate for answers, but they were not forthcoming. And then one day, they came to him as if as a gift from a higher intelligence. And he ran in and began writing down the formula that he was looking for. And he noted very clearly that it was a gift from a higher intelligence that was provided to him. But at every moment, we're getting that in one way or another. And you can go on observing your own body, mind, your environment, and see that there's an arrangement for us that is bountiful, and we can appreciate. So that's the first principle. gratitude. And this is practically synonymous with bhakti, because if you're grateful, it's natural that you're grateful to someone, because it doesn't really make sense to be grateful to an impersonal entity, if there is such a thing as an impersonal entity. To be grateful for nothing, for a void, right? Yeah. Contradiction in terms. But if we think about it, that their intelligence is being provided, there's packaging, there's some thoughtfulness to the universe, then I can feel grateful. And it's amazing how, when you're grateful, it doesn't matter what your environment is, or whatever you have at the time, you'll naturally feel satisfied and happy. But if you don't have gratitude, it doesn't matter how much you get or what kind of opulent surroundings you may be provided with, you'll be unhappy. Once I was with my father backpacking in the mountains, and we were had stayed out in the wilderness for a few days, and we were carrying our backpacks. I was walking behind him, and he had given me a lozenge, like a hard candy, to suck on when we were walking along the trail. And as I was walking, I stepped on an uneven part of the trail. I think there was a little pothole. And when I did, I was jostled. And the hard candy went right down my windpipe. And my father was walking ahead, but I tried to call out, but I couldn't say anything, because I had this within my throat. So I started slapping my arms, and then he finally turned around and he saw that he assessed what had happened. So he threw off my backpack, he picked me up by the ankles, and he held me upside down like that, and it popped out onto the trail. And I sat there gasping for a minute, because I couldn't get any air for maybe 30, 40 seconds. And when that had happened, I sat there for a minute just appreciating the fact that I could breathe at all. Whereas previously, when I was walking along the trail, I was thinking what I was going to do when I got home and contemplating all kinds of things in the future. But after he had saved my life, I just thought about how nice it was to be alive. And it's easy enough to forget that I'm alive, because I don't even notice it. I'm thinking about all of my life situations and everything that I'm required to do. I think about the ways I don't measure up. I lament about the things I didn't get. I worry about the future, what I might not get in the future. But meanwhile, there's a perfectly vibrant universe going on outside of me and inside of me, with perfect arrangements all around me for my sustenance and for my satisfaction. But I miss it. So Bhakti Yoga says, don't miss it. Find out the greatest show on earth, your life, that's going on right now. And observe how every molecule in the universe has a miracle going on within it that's being sustained by a higher energy and force. And then you'll feel satisfied, just in this gratitude. And in the mood of gratitude, one will feel compelled to offer something back to our original divine source, who's maintaining us. And when we do this, then we feel some reciprocation. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya pariyachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. That if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. When I first got the Bhagavad Gita, when I was in high school, I was reading it every day. It was a small Bhagavad Gita a friend of mine in high school had given me in 1972. And actually, I still have it. A friend gave it to me, inscribed it, and said, I think you'll like this. I'd never heard of it before. I started reading it every day, and I was fascinated by it. Never heard such commonsensical and straightforward teachings on spirituality, which I had been looking for. It's hard to find. The Bhagavad Gita is perfect for that. And I came across this verse where Krishna says, if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept it. And that verse stuck in my mind. So I was walking to school, and I just happened to have an apple in my lunch bag. And so halfway to school, I was thinking about that verse so much that I stopped along the side of the road, and I went and I sat down for a minute, and I said, I'm going to try this. And I took the apple out of my bag, and I'd never taken a seminar on how to offer something to God. But I just read that verse, and I thought, this makes sense. You know, an apple's a beautiful thing if you really look at it. I said, I'm going to offer it. So I held it up. And the mantra I knew then was Om. So I held the apple like this, offering it to Krishna. I wasn't even sure who that was or where he was, but I figured maybe upwards. So I held it up, and I said, Om. And with my heart, I was thinking, I really want to offer this back to whoever gave it to me. And taking the words of that verse in the Bhagavad Gita to heart. And I didn't know anything. I was a complete neophyte, a beginner in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. But I did have a feeling that someone gave this to me and I should offer it back. And when I did, I felt a reciprocation in my heart that really convinced me that Krishna was there, and that the process of bhakti, which I didn't even know the name, the word bhakti, but I just had an idea from the Bhagavad Gita that the process of appreciating the Supreme and offering Him what one has would be effective. I knew it was because I got almost immediate reciprocation. And I really liked that principle. Later, when I got a Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, which I did by going to a bookstore after I discovered there was such an author as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and I found his Bhagavad Gita there, I heard a lot more about offering and bhakti and so forth. And I was trying to find a teacher of spirituality. I was at my high school, Del Valle High School in Walnut Creek, California. And so I was asking around, and my brother knew I was looking for a spiritual teacher, so he suggested Mr. King. He was a Spanish teacher at the school, and he was a Buddhist. And a lot of students were going to him to learn about Buddhism. And so one time after his class, I went there, and I thought, you know, I'm going to inquire from him about learning about spiritual life. So I went to his desk. He was sitting there after the class. I said, I want to know about the absolute truth. I want to learn spirituality. He said, you come to my house at a certain time. We have classes there. I'll be teaching some of the students. You can come. So on that day, I walked there. And I got in there a little early. So he said, you should eat something before you do your meditation. We're going to do Buddhist meditation today. And so he took out some bread and some honey, and he was spreading it. And he said, here, you take this. And I said, well, first I have to offer it. He said, no, we don't offer. We just eat. I said, no, I really do have to offer it. Because I had already had this experience, and then I read about offering whatever one has to Krishna. So it had become a strong principle for me, even though I didn't know much about it. I really felt it and believed in it. So, and he was kind of a taskmaster, and he said, no, just eat. Like, you know, he was the Zen master, and he'd tell his student what to do. I said, no thanks, and I put it down, and I got out, and I walked out. I thought, this is wrong. I knew it was wrong. And when I was walking out, the other students were coming in and said, where are you going? I said, I got to go. And I left, and when I walked out the door, I was going down the driveway, and I got back on the street. I was walking because I had taken a vow not to drive in cars. And as I was walking along, I felt this reciprocation that, yes, you followed my instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. I felt that intelligence. And the reciprocation, again, came into my heart that, yes, you know, keep going. Good, you know, follow. And so spiritual life is real. It's not something philosophical. We have a relationship, and we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appreciate. And when we do appreciate, and we offer even the simplest thing out of love, a simple gesture from our heart, bhakti means from our heart, just simple, then Krishna reciprocates in our life, and we feel it. And that's what actually makes us happy, is that reciprocation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the best of ambitions is that ambition then that grows, that I want to come closer to Him. I want to do more to know who He is and to be connected to Him in all different ways. And if one simply expresses one's gratitude as much as possible in all of one's activities in life, connecting them to Krishna, who's the life of our life. He's the soul of our soul. And He's so wonderful. It's inconceivable how wonderful He is. He can do anything. He can create anything. And he loves all the living entities in His creation. And by just endeavoring a little bit, Krishna says in this, in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. Krishna says, if you just try a little tiny bit in this bhakti practice, show a tiny little bit of gratitude, He said, that's your eternal credit. You'll never lose it. It's so valuable. What to speak if you rearrange your life so that you can always open your heart and offer as much gratitude as possible and bring more people into groups so they can express their gratitude as well to the Supreme. And if you do that, then it opens up a channel where the spiritual energy pours into your life. So it's not a sectarian process. It's a direct communion with the Supreme origin of everything, who's the soul of our souls, and who we can immediately be in touch with. We're already in touch with Him, but we start a relationship with Him through the process of showing gratitude towards Him for what we already have. And I propose that if anybody does this even a little bit, then that person will feel happiness and satisfaction within the heart. And on the other side, if you turn your attention towards scarcity, and always depreciate what you have and what you see, and forgetting its divine origin, then no matter how many things you have or no matter what arrangement you make in life, then you'll feel dissatisfied. Before I go on to the next point, let's take a few reflections. Anything that you heard in the monologue so far that's stuck in your mind that you can reflect back. Yes, Prabhu? We have a microphone for you.
So what I liked about what you said, and it stuck in my mind, it was about the offering, where you just sat down and offered. I really liked that part. Without even knowing, you just did it, feeling like this is the right way. So, yeah, it's really nice, and I think you did the right thing leaving that kind of house.
Thank you. Thank you for remembering that and reflecting it back. It's very intuitive. The actual process of connecting with the Supreme Lord is not convoluted. It's very natural. Bhakti is the most natural thing. Every living entity has a propensity to love. And when we direct that propensity to love towards our original divine source, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it expands unlimitedly because He can reciprocate unlimitedly. And if we as an example, this is an example Prabhupada gives in the Nectar of Devotion. If you shine a light into the sky, theoretically, the beam of light will continue to expand unlimitedly. Correct?
Yeah.
Ask our scientists in the front row. If you shine it into a box, then it'll be trapped in a particular configuration. It won't expand any further than that. So when we direct our loving propensity and our propensity for gratitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it continues to expand, and the reciprocation continues to expand. And this is called the advancement of bhakti. And when we direct it towards material things or relationships that are temporary, then it's as if we're shining that light into a confined space. And it doesn't expand. And we feel frustrated by it, ultimately. Thank you for your... That was really nice. Okay, we'll take a couple more. Yes?
What I like was the part that... basically, just like Madan said, the part where you... there's something in your head that was like, this is the right thing. It was the part where you went to your Spanish teacher's house, and then he said, don't do it. Don't do that. But... even though he was saying that kind of stuff, the voice that you heard, that you felt like what was right, was not to listen to him. I like that part.
Yeah, and just to tell you more about why I was in that frame of mind, when I was reading the Bhagavad Gita every day, you can pass it right back here. Who had their hand up? Yes. When I was reading the Bhagavad Gita every day, after I got it, because I was so taken with it. And I felt as if Krishna was speaking directly to me through the words in the Bhagavad Gita. And when he said, surrender to me, I said this, any of the pronouns, any of the ways in which he was expressing himself, I felt that he was personally there. I had this experience. As I said earlier, when we chant the Bhagavad Gita, there's no difference between speaking directly to Krishna or reading the Bhagavad Gita. And I felt that viscerally. In fact, I remember when I would read the Bhagavad Gita every day, I would brace myself for the 11th chapter. Because it's a scary chapter where Krishna shows his universal form. And I actually felt a little afraid to go through that chapter because it was so tumultuous, and he's showing these teeth and the universal form opens up. And it's because I was innocent. I was just a kid, but I was sincere. I really wanted to know the absolute truth. And because in that state, I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, there was a reciprocation. And so this is the simplicity of bhakti. If we're very simple and sincere, I'm not saying that I'm still, that was a fluke, but at that point, there was a little opening for me. And I felt the reciprocation. So bhakti is a very simple thing. It just requires being simple and sincere and being very open to Krishna's message to us. Yes?
Hare Krishna. So I like this point that you mentioned that we have so many things which we don't appreciate, but always look for the things that we don't have and feel unhappiness in our mind. So there are tons of things that everyone has if we carefully pay attention. And those things, if we keep appreciating, and I think it's human nature that whatever they don't have, they'll always look for that. They want to expand, they want to enjoy. And as you said, we are not the supreme enjoyer. The enjoyer is the supreme Lord. So I think that's where the conflict arises.
Yes, this is such an important observation you've made, that we become frustrated when we invest our affection in material things because they don't reciprocate. Bhakta Adam. And then to Tarini Ganga. So one, and then back to two, and then three.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I experienced a shift when you were talking about appreciating capacity and trying to create more time in our life to appreciate. Because I think sometimes it gets ingrained in my mind that I need to create more time because I ought to practice. I'm a little bit more militant or something. I ought to be doing this or that. But just hearing it that way of I need to find more time to appreciate, that was just a really nice, like, subtle shift for me. And then I thought, it's really kind of daring to appreciate, too, because you have to really look at everything and be like, thanks, this is all awesome. And I think that's actually kind of exciting, and it excited something in my heart to want to make more time to appreciate, also because it's kind of an extreme thing to do, and that excites my heart.
Nice, thank you. Extreme appreciating.
Maharaj, I like the example you gave about the apple, that the skin is very thin, and then the inside part is soft and juicy, and then you go to the seed. So I was really amazed at how you looked at an apple, a simple thing, like so beautifully, and I would really like to go home and see things the way you saw, and also the example you gave, that the light which is shown up, like towards, like in the sky, the vision is like that, and when it is in the box, it's kind of closed. So I really like the example very much.
Yes, in the Sri Upanishad, in the Sri Upanishad, it is said, yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanan tato na vijagupsate. One who sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates any living being or anything. And this is the secret of bhakti, is to see Krishna within everything. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me within everything and everything with me, for him I'm never lost, and I'm never lost to him. So true yoga means to see that everything's connected to Krishna. And then you don't hate anything, including your life. Because there's a way in which I can bemoan my life because it moves in strange ways. We never know what's going to come up. And I may be fearful also about the events that are unfolding in my life. But if one actually comes to the point, you talked about extreme appreciating, to be able to appreciate the adversities in one's life, what will life be like then? What will be your capability, your appreciating capacity? What's it like when the things that go the opposite way you thought they should go, you're able to appreciate that, truly appreciate that? This means that you're moving in the world without any obstruction whatsoever. And in fact, this is listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important of bhakti teachings, as the quintessential attitude of an advanced spiritual practitioner. Brahma says this, tate anukampam susamikshamano bunjana eva makritam vipakam hridva vapurvir vidadam namaste jibeta yungti padesa dayabak. He says that a person who is able to see everything that happens in life, including the adversities, as a message from the Supreme Personality of God, a benevolent message, and a way in which the Supreme is reaching out to us to assist us, that person is fit to inherit the kingdom of God. And I had a revelation about this one day when I was at my home in California, and I was in my backyard gardening. And it was a warm summer day, and our windows were open. We don't use screens on our windows because we don't have any bugs in California. Either that, we have an agreement with them that they won't come in. I think they signed a contract. But apparently a bird didn't have such a contract. And I saw the bird very clearly from my vantage point fly into our kitchen. And I thought, this is a disaster. Bird in the kitchen. Wild bird. Kitchen bird. Not a good idea. So I went in with the sole purpose of rescuing it. And letting it out of the house. We had old window panes, so I started opening the windows, but they made a rattling sound. And the bird saw me come in and thought, there's a giant after me. And heard the noises of the windows moving and said, there is definitely confirmation that he's trying to kill me. And he went to the next room, and I opened the windows there, giving him an opportunity to escape. With love in my heart, I'm thinking, poor little bird. He went to the next room and the next room. I was coaxing him, doing everything I could to be gentle with him and help him to come to freedom. And he finally made the rounds all the way back till he got to the kitchen again, whole house. And before he noticed the open window and flew out, he looked at me with terror in his eyes. And if I were to translate it, he would have been saying, you tried to kill me, but I found a way out, and now I'm going to escape from this big ogre. And when he flew away, something really profound happened to me. I sat down, emotionally drained. I was surprised by it. And I thought, that's me. That's the way I see the world, the way birds saw me. Krishna is making arrangements for me in various ways so that I can realize my relationship with him, so I can be freed from the cycle of birth and death. And I interpret the various movements in my life, the way he's opening windows, to be his attempt to kill me. When all the time he's really reaching out and trying to give me the greatest advantage of all. So this perspective that's given in the Bhagavatam is about gratitude and understanding that Krishna is 100% benevolent. There's no malintention at all in his heart. And any involvement I have in this world that's complex, that's fearful, is due to a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. And the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam seek to help us overcome that misunderstanding and become realigned with gratitude and understand that I'm being guided by Krishna. After all, I'm his part and parcel. And therefore, he has has unlimited good intentions for me. Imagine that. The person who can do anything, who has everything, who's all-knowing, all-loving, has the highest and best intentions for me. Loves me more than anyone possibly could. Suridam sarvabhutanam, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am your intimate and best friend. And I'm there in your heart always. And I'm ready to give you anything you want. Only problem is, I don't know what I want. I'm focused on so many petty things that I think I want from moment to moment, and I worry about them. But they really don't mean anything. So this is the quintessential direction of the Bhagavatam, to stay in that mode. And who is next? Yes, please. You're good.
Thank you. It's a wonderful point that you spoke about it today, because I think we need a reminder again and again about it. And as Sari was mentioning about the apples, I also like the point very much. And if you keep peeling the apple to the core, you come across the seeds. And I think you can either choose to throw away the seeds, or you can choose to plant the seeds and get an orchard out of it. So I was thinking, I can compare it to my life, that I can either throw bhakti away, or I can use that seed to implant, pray to Krishna so that we can use it to sow that seed into the hearts of others. So I think it's a very beautiful point. And I think, as Sadhvi was mentioning, I would also, whenever I see an apple, I would be reminded of that point, because you can see many simple things in life and forget that the great lessons in each of them. So thank you.
Yeah, well, even when you peel the apple, you think, what do I do with an apple peel? You put it in the compost. And then that becomes rich fodder for your soil to grow other things. And similarly, whatever kinds of missteps we have in life, the kinds of things that we think are throwaways, actually, they become pillars to success for us. So even if we're a little merciful to ourselves and understand when we make mistakes, when we do things, when things happen to us that we think are the opposite of what might have happened, as Prabhupada writes in the light of the Bhagavad, missteps, mistakes, they may not be detrimental. They may become the pillars to success. And this is also in the realm of gratitude and appreciation, to seeing that the things that happen to me are meant for my betterment, and they can be used in that way. So they're not throwaways, actually. They can be used to nurture us even further. I'm going to look at my watch, which is a big event, because I'm sitting in front of all you, and I don't want to break the connection I have with you, but if I have your permission, because I can't see a clock anywhere else, I'm going to do it. May I have permission? I mean nothing by this. I mean nothing by this except to make sure to serve you properly. Okay. What time, Loka, you said finish at 8:45, right? Okay, I just want to make a couple more points. Can you hold yours just for a little bit? The second, because I said there are keys to fulfillment. That's the first one. The second one is to unclutter your life. This is a good time of year to think about this. There's two kinds of clutter, internal and external. Anybody have any external clutter? Anything you want to get rid of? Not because I'm asking if you, because I want something from you. But I just wonder if you have any extra things in your life and you're not sure what to do with them. Two people? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, two hands went up there. It's altogether possible for things to come flowing into your life and then they start to pile up. And we may even avidly collect things. So the Shastra recommends that we live a simpler life in that we winnow out those things that we don't really need and keep only the essentials in our life externally. In fact, there's a term for this that's mentioned in one of the most important teachings on bhakti by Rupa Goswami in the book called the Upadeshamrita. And he says, atyahara is one of the ways in which we slow down our progress in spiritual life. Ahara means eating, and ati means extreme. Anybody here ever seen extreme sports? You've seen it, right? Yeah. Not recommended. But you know what it means to be extreme. So there's also extreme eating. And ahara also means collecting. So atyahara, please say, means extreme collecting or extreme eating. Extreme eating. So one should not be an extreme collector or an extreme eater. One should eat to live, don't live to eat, and keep only those things that are necessary for your service and for your maintenance in life. And take the other things out of your purview. I met a personal organizer once, and we were going over a lot of the things that I had, and she told me that any extra thing you have in your environment, it amounts to what's called visual noise. You may not notice that it's there after a while, but it has an effect on us. And therefore, if you want to be more focused and streamlined in your practice of bhakti, get rid of the things that you don't really need and be proactive in that. You can remove them from your environment by giving them away and throwing them away, recycling them. And if you practice that, you'll notice that you'll feel a great relief and you'll be more focused by eliminating clutter in your external environment. Does that sound fair? Does it sound reasonable?
Yes.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything that you thought, oh, I should keep this because one day I'll fix it, I may need it, but it just hangs around and you might find it 12 years later? Yeah, don't keep it. See what happens. One thing I always notice when I get rid of stuff that I thought I needed, is a really surprising feeling, but I have to tell you about it. As soon as I release it, I notice that I'm still alive. Thank you. And that's kind of remarkable, because the little voice in my head was saying, if you get rid of this thing, you might not survive. It's one of the things that is actually helping you live, this thing. And when I realize my separation from things, that I don't need things to live. In fact, I live in a universe that's so abundant that if I didn't have any things at all, I would still be perfectly maintained. If I didn't have any things at all, I would still be perfectly maintained. Now, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshema mahamyaham, which essentially means that for those who only have time for me and really don't have time to maintain themselves, I'll personally take care of them. And the more that we dedicate ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna will step in and provide the abundance in our own life. That is a fact. And then the second way in which we can unclutter is internally. And I'm going to give you a model that you can use. You can carry around with you in your mind always. And it's a simple model, but it's so helpful and profound for clearing up internal clutter that you'll thank me for this for the next 24 hours at least. And I borrowed this from a great thinker named Stephen Covey. Some of you may be familiar with him. He wrote Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. This is one of the models that I took away from his writings that has really helped me. Okay, so I want you to make a small circle right here, like with your fingers. This we're going to call my circle of influence. What do you think that means? For my pundit in the front row. Circle of influence.
Basically anything inside the circle is something that will influence you.
Well, actually, it's like this. It's a good answer, but the circle of influence means everything in this circle is something I can do something about. That I can I can actually affect a change in, and I can change the outcome. Does that make sense? Circle of influence. Well, let's make it smaller. It's like this. Okay, now I want you to make a much bigger circle outside the small circle. This we're going to call your circle of concern. What do I mean by that?
Something you're concerned about. Everything.
Correct. Everything you're concerned about, but guess what? It's outside of your circle of influence. That means that you can't do anything about it. I'm concerned about it, but I can't do anything about it. It's beyond my... I won't be effective in that area, right? So now you can, with reason and logic, understand that there's no reason to live within that bigger circle. Any of the items you can look and see, can I actually do something about this? And if not, then feel free to let it go. And then move closer and get in the smaller circle of where you can actually do something about. And there's even a smaller circle within the small circle. Make the smallest of circles. That's called your circle of commitment. Even within that circle where you can do something about it, now there's a tiny little circle, say, these are the things I can actually afford to really commit myself to. If you live in that circle, you'll get rid of hundreds, no, thousands, no, tens of thousands, no, millions.
No.
No, okay, tens of millions.
No, infinity.
Infinity. You're right. Infinity. Infinite numbers of concerns. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, prajahati yadakaman sarvan parta manugatan. Atman yeva manatushta stita pragnas tadochite. He says, now get this, you're going to like this. Your mind is a little factory. It's got a conveyor belt running, and there's a bunch of elves in there, and they're making stuff, and it's coming off the conveyor belt, one little package at a time. And what's on it? A bunch of concocted ideas that cause you anxiety. one after another. You keep opening the boxes and go, oh, no. And it keeps going and going and going to?
Infinity.
Correct. Keeps going. It never stops, the mind. And therefore, Krishna says, the person who stops opening those packages that are coming off the conveyor belt, that are coming from mental concoction, that are ideas that are way outside your circle of influence, what to speak of your circle of commitment, he said, don't even touch them. Get rid of them altogether. He says, a person who does that will be eligible to live within the satisfaction of the self. Atman yevatmanatushta. You can find satisfaction in the self. Instead of with all these manufactured circles of concern or items that are within your circle of concern. So you have to winnow out those things in your mind that are not relevant to your spiritual advancement. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says, kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveti avata jivasya tattva jignasya narto yascheha karmavi. That you should use your life in a very wise way, get rid of those desires, or don't touch them at all, that are outside your circle of influence or your circle of commitment, and that don't help you to advance towards Krishna. And if you do that, you'll have a very focused mind. Otherwise, Krishna says in the Gita, bahusha kahinandascha, it'll be unlimited how many things you have to worry about. Have any of you experienced worry because you were looking at all the things in your circle of concern and they were spinning around like a ceiling fan? You just kept going around and around. There was nothing you could do about it. And you felt frustrated and worried. And you felt anxiety. Yes?
Yes.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. It's a common human experience. And with a disciplined mind, one can overcome that. So unclutter your external, which is something you just have to practice and start to feel good about. And also unclutter your internal environment by focusing your mind on your circle of commitment and at the very most on your circle of influence. But stay out of your circle of concern. Okay?
Okay.
Stay out.
Anybody who...
Stay out of it. No circle of concern. Okay? Never, thank you. Okay, now, the last principle for your keys to inner fulfillment is attention. I'm going to make a radical proposition to you all. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
3, 4, 5, 6 people are ready. Yes. Everyone else plug your ears. Okay, all right. All right, so, and that is that our only real asset in life is our attention. In fact, I'll go even further and say, we are units of attention. And where we decide to place that attention is the most consequential event in our life, moment to moment, where we decide to place our own attention. And this is what we actually have. We have free will, and the free will is where we get to place our own attention. Now, if you place your attention, for instance, as I mentioned, in circle of concern, you can just be in anxiety for one birth after another and go on for millions of years. But if you place your attention on the original divine source of everything, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and think of him, then that's called yoga or union with the divine, and then your life will become sublime. So you can choose where you want to put your attention. And attention is creative. Here's a mantra. Where attention goes, energy flows. Everyone say. So if you want to know where your life's going to go, just notice where you're placing your attention. And Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you want to know what body you're going to get in your next life? Just notice where you place your attention at the time when you're leaving the body. It's a transitional moment. You're leaving this body and you're going to get another one. And how do you know which body you're going to get? What you're attracted to, what you're used to putting your attention on. That's it. And that's the science. So you're very powerful, but your power is in your attention. So from moment to moment, notice where you're placing your attention And Krishna says, manmana pavamat bhakto. Learn to place it on me and practice. And how much should you practice?
A lot.
A lot. Practice a lot. And if you do that, you'll have the essence of yoga. It's very, very simple, but that's the one thing that we have that is that is always ours and can never be taken away, is our attention. It can be obscured for some time. We can distract ourselves, but it's our eternal right to place our attention where we wish. So those are the three principles. First one is?
Gratitude.
Second was? Unclutter your life. Third is? Attention. Where attention goes, energy flows. If you take these three, you will be supremely blissful wherever you go. You'll feel enlightened within your heart. You'll be the best of human beings. You'll be beloved by your family, by your country, by the world. You'll be successful in everything that you do. You'll feel happy at every moment. And I guarantee this, or your money back from this talk tonight. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you. You didn't pay at the door?
No.
He didn't pay, Loka. He'll collect from you afterwards. Okay. You have to pay to go out. Loka drives a hard bargain. He's from Brown University. I wouldn't mess with him. Okay. All right. So, yeah, you can. This is an ashram. You can stay in here. So, any last points? We'll just take a few. And try to... Okay, go ahead. Microphone's just now coming.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This one point that stuck very much with me is with the example that you gave of a bird that you were trying to help, and how Krishna is willing to help in every possible situation. And a very important quality or feature of Krishna that's highlighted throughout the scriptures, and when he himself says that he is the supreme person, he is unlimitedly all-knowing, he is all-pervasive, and is all-merciful. It's the merciful part that is all highlighted. And when he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, he said, if you offer me one leaf and a supreme person is happy with just one leaf. Is that something that is so profound?
Yeah, especially, he says, offer it with love. And that's the profound part, that we have that. That's the one thing we can give to Krishna that he actually is eager to take from us, or that he would like to have. The material part of it, what's called in Gita, dravya, the material part, it doesn't mean anything, really, because it's already Krishna's. So the intention and the way in which we offer to Krishna out of gratitude makes all the difference in the world. Yes? Okay. Okay, one, two, three. And then we're ready for the next program. Okay, four. Because you've been such a good participant.
I feel like that if I was thinking, like, when you started with gratitude, I was wondering, like, why am I not having, you gave so many points to be gratitude about, and I felt like, what is happening, why am I not feeling those gratitude? Then I realized, like, if I unclutter my inner space and then go into my circle of commitment, then my attention will go there and probably I will feel gratitude.
Yeah, they'll all help. It's all part of the process of bhakti. Thank you. Okay, you're next.
So,
it's good. You're good.
So when I thought about what the one thing that really stuck in my mind was that the part where about the bird. And I just today read in a book that said what you see in others is what you see in you.
Yeah, it's pretty parallel with the.
And below it said in hashtag after a hashtag it said what you see in others is what you should see in you. But dang it, that's not easy.
Oh.
Not easy. Okay. Thank you very much. Sir? Adidas. The original servant.
So I had a question about the, your Spanish teacher.
Yeah, you know, Mr. King.
His about Buddhism. If Buddha and Krishna were basically the same thing, why is Buddhism so different from like Krishna consciousness?
Well, they're not basically the same thing. That's why they're different.
I mean, like,
but I could tell you more afterwards.
Food to God anyways?
Well, Mr. King had his own ideas. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I like that concept that you just said. Wherever you pay attention, that's where the energy flows. I was thinking, whichever thought you pay attention to, those thoughts get converted into actions. So we should be careful in paying attention to the thoughts carefully so that we can act accordingly. And then...
That's another very nice point you've made. And it parallels, again, something Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. Jayato vishayan pumsam sangas te shupa jayate. And that is that whatever you contemplate, contemplate means to look at things for a while, and then to start think, this is something, there's something in this for me. And when you do this, Krishna says, then you develop a sangha, which means a connection. It actually becomes part of you. So that's how we get stuck in the material world. It's not that we have to be stuck in the material world. We can float through here because actually we have nothing to do with it. But when I look at it and I say, well, actually, I like that and I want that. And then I identify with it, it changes from being a material thing to my material thing. And there's a huge difference. And that is now it becomes part of my body and my mind. Anga means a part of something. Like this arm is an anga of my body. These fingers are angis of my hand and so forth. And so when I look at a car, for instance, like I learned this when I studied about how to buy a car, first car I ever bought. And the instruction said, don't love the car, it won't love you back. And so I went in dispassionate, but methodical, and you know, I'll deal with it. However, the moment you look at the car, and the salesperson comes out and goes, yeah, what's your favorite color? Well, I like red. And he goes, check this out. He goes, sit in it. He goes, okay, sit in it. He goes, oh my God, that's really you. And they go, yeah, this is me. And the concept is that now this is my car. That's why I end up spending so much money on it and giving my life energy for it. Because I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a Prius. And the same thing with my body. I look at my body and I go like, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm this. This is my body. This is me. Or my football team, even worse. Because my team won. My team lost. But you didn't even play. You just identified with it, and now it's a problem for you. And the whole world becomes a problem for me because I become attached to it through, I place my attention there, and then I consider, there's something in this for me, and then it becomes an anga. I become attached to it. So we've come to the end. We surveyed a few principles that could be utilized, and they're principles that we traced back to show are authentic through the bhakti scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita that anyone can utilize in their life and that you can apply tonight. You can apply this very moment starting now. And then your life will be better, happier, and more successful in all ways. And Loka Prabhu is going to talk about a phenomenon that's sweeping the nation right now, and that is a combined effort to distribute as many Bhagavad Gitas as possible to people all over the world in many different languages. And around this time of year, when people have all kinds of extra money lying around and they're thinking, like, who could I give this to make a difference? And it's bugging them that they have huge stacks of cash hidden under mattresses and safety deposit boxes in bank accounts. And they're thinking, you know, this is a huge burden to me. So then they start, their mind turns to preemptive giving. Preemptive giving means that everything you have in your mattress, in your safety deposit box, and in your bank account is going to be taken away. If you just leave it there, someone will come along and find it. Your uncle will call and said, little Jimmy's sick, little Dilip needs needs the money, and you're the only one in the family has it, so you got to fork it over. Or the government will come and say, hey, didn't you owe me all that money, and they'll take it. Or some expense will come up, it'll go away. And if it goes out in that way, you don't get any credit, zero credit for that money, because it goes out anyway. However, if you give it for a worthy cause, then you get eternal credit. And this is what I call preemptive giving. Bali Maharaj did this. He was in charge of the whole universe, and Vamadev came to him and said, give me 3 steps of land. He said, okay. Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, said, you've just been faked out, because this Vamana is not a Brahmana. He's the greatest cheater, Lord Vishnu. And he's going to take everything from you. And Bali Maharaj said, that's okay. If he's Vishnu, I'll give it to him. And in 3 footsteps, Vamanadev took away the whole universe. And then in 2 steps. And he had 1 more step to go, so Bali Maharaj said, put it on my head. So he became famous for giving everything to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, cheat death before it cheats you. Be preemptive, because it'll sneak up on you. So we went around Govardhan Hill just recently. I was in Govardhan for the month of Kartik. I was there for about 42 days. And I took around neck beads, Tulsi neck beads that we handpicked from the my best Malawala Rajendra in Vrindavan. And we took them around and we placed those beads in all the holy places and all the holy kuns. And then we brought them back and we I gave some to Loka to offer as gifts to anyone who wants to help with the Bhagavad Gita marathon. Loka? Where's that microphone go? Okay.
So this is
here.
This is what we have achieved this year in terms of our outreach. As Prabhu was saying, when you point the light at the sky, then it goes everywhere. So this is our attempt to point our gratitude to Krishna, to give out to the universe. And we invite you to join this initiative. We don't need the money, as Prabhu was saying. This money is collected by Krishna to distribute this knowledge to all these souls who have no hope. And by giving that hope, our life actually becomes filled with hope. So we have these opportunities for you to consider. And I would say when you start looking from the bottom. The bottom right corner. And if you feel that your mattress has that much, then consider that. And just try to go the next higher level. You feel that, okay, maybe this is a little bit difficult for me, then you can actually do it, because that's what you can do. So at 2:51, Prabhu actually went around Govardhan and blessed these holy beads, neck beads, that have really special potency. So you get those for 500 won. Those 2 neck beads plus will do special puja for you in the 6 Goswami temple, Vrindavan, which is very special. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specially entrusted in 6 Goswamis to form these temples and revive Vrindavan. For 1,000 donation, 4 neck beads plus puja in Vrindavan. And you also get a flag hoisted on Jagannath Puri temple. They plan to go there, and you have a flag hoisted on the top of Jagannath Puri temple, to bring it back for you. And your home will become an emblem of Lord Jagannath. And therefore, no misfortune can ever enter the whole neighborhood. And for $2,000, donation only, you, Vaishya Srika Prabhu also does a special yagya for you in Govardhan next Kartik, and plus you get all of the above and eat neck beads. So very small price to leave this house tonight and actually enter Krishna's glands. So please don't look at your other special half and just look at your heart and look at your consciousness, and then just give from your heart the best you can, the most you can, not the least I can, but the most you can. Thank you very much. So we'll call out who wants to come forward and support this great cause that Srila Prabhupada wanted.
Maybe you can hand me that box, the neck piece. Just hand it over. I made a video of going around Govardhan Hill to all the various places. And these are the neck beads. And I took them around in a large conglomeration. And every place I went, the pujaris invited me into the temple. In fact, at the Nisringa temple, the pujari took the beads and put them on the deity. And then he put them at the deity's lotus feet. And then I went to Surabhi Kund, the place where you can go and pray for forgiveness. Indra prayed there for forgiveness. And it said that anyone who goes there is forgiven for any past mistakes. And then we went to Uddhava Kund, the place where Uddhava prayed to be a clump of grass in Vrindavan. And this way, we dipped them in every kund and put them at the lotus feet of every deity. And I made a video of this. Later you can see the video. A local will send it out to you. But we also then performed a Mahayagya sacrifice. We read all the names of people that gave it a certain level. And we also offered the names of people who had given at our Gopuja. So it gives you an intimate connection with the Holy Dham.
So... who wants to start first? Yes, go.
Left and bottom, red.
I only see blue color. I don't see red. I'm colorblind.
Blue. Arriba!
My vision is just one pointed. I only see here.
So who pledged? I didn't see who it was.
Priyanka Prabhu and Shweta.
Oh, okay.
You can come and collect the neck beads from
you. Make a little path, they can come up here.
Sarupan, you guys can come here.
Haribo! So what do they get? They get one set of beads?
Two. And then you'll give them more.
Okay.
They get eight, actually.
Hare Krishna.
And you can collect more later. Haribo.
One Giri
Rav Seva. One Giri Rav
Seva. Haribo!
This vision is spreading. Seeing only the blue color is spreading, so I'm really happy.
The color is red, though.
Huh? This is the blue.
And
we're going
to have enough for the yellow
one. Hare Krishna.
But
Swordy can Haribo! I think the Mridanga wants to come in here, so let's bring it.
He's falling down. He's falling down. Yeah, he wants to come. He wants to
Lakshmi Prabhu, can you help us with the Mridanga, please?
He's paid for 50,000.
We need your help with the Mridanga. When somebody wants to do the Gita Seva, then you play the Mridanga.
That's what
we have to do twice already.
Yes.
Hanibo!
Who's next? Jagannath, please say
it. Hanibo! Just one set, right? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Arriba! Do you have your hands up?
No, I don't have any.
I'm poor.
I'm for this one.
Please come.
You can raise your hands. We just need confirmation from your parents. Get an SMS. They'll let you know. Okay.
Oh, your parents are gone because
they're gone. Hare Krishna. Haribo!
They can take it sort of.
Okay. We'll take it from Prabhu.
One each.
Sorry, these two.
Is somebody writing it all down? Somebody writing it down?
Yeah.
Okay. In your head?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Not to school, because they're going to break it.
Should say that. Plus, you should say their names out loud.
So far we have.
Let's see if you can say everyone's name so far.
So we started out with Priyanka and Shweta.
I know we can afford it.
Seva. And then we went on to Renukarpita and Somedhatri for Giridhar Seva, and then Arindam Prabhu for Jagannath Puri Seva, and then Ganeshan Prabhu for Vrindavan Seva, and then Adam Prabhu for Radhakund Seva, and then Sunil and Shanti for Vrindavan Seva.
Pretty good, Loka. He doesn't forget stuff like that.
All right. Who else?
Come on, Jennifer.
Race it to
Jennifer.
Five sisters, you don't get.
Oh, you know what? I'm just adding my
pearl
so that we can
do
it. Haribo! Three. Hey, Madame, and Shama Bhakti.
I'll sell my pearl I have.
Hare Krishna. Radhakund Seva for Sunil and Nikita. Hello. Where are your kids? Oh, you can come. You can come too. Hello. Nikita and Sunil.
Am I allowed to participate?
Yes.
Radhakund Seva.
Hello. Can make a request.
Maybe
what if my parents already paid?
Maybe I could do a Radhakund.
They'll probably give again.
I hope I have enough in my piggy bank to do a
Radhakund.
How many do you have?
200 or something. Lakshmi Van Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Come on, sir. You got at least 200 people.
I'll go with Radha Kunj.
Arnav and Tarini Ganga.
Hare Krishna.
Who wants to go next? Radhika Nam. Vrindavan Seva.
Haribo!
Another Murari. Please come. Somebody, you can also come. Yes. Hello, Radhika Nam, Madam Murari, Somebody. Who wants to go next?
We'll go with Radha Kunj Seva.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vishal and Pakistan. You can come out.
Hare Krishna.
That's right. Who wants to go next? Yeah, yeah, you can always do more than once.
Hariba!
You're basically doing that.
Well, unless they want to go to Vrindavan twice. And
so it's very easy. You can very quickly go from Jagannath Puri to Giriraj. The passage is very short. I don't take much time. Who wants to go next? Nitin.
Radhika wants to do the Giriraj Seva.
Haribo! Two? Two?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Swami and Nitin. Hare Krishna. Who wants to go next? I don't know.
Okay, I can do that. Would you pass the drum up here, please? No, it's the other way. Okay, because we're running out of time and the opportunity to be preemptive is expiring soon. And this is a metaphor for life as we're all counting down. And I'm going to count down from 10. And when I get down to 0, then the opportunity for being preemptive and getting full credit for giving will expire. So if you'd like to stop the countdown and offer something, you can raise your hand. Are you ready? Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5.
I'll start with
Radha Kunj Seva. Haribo!
Krishna,
one question. One smallest question
that you'll ever get.
Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2. Murli.
Haribo!
Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4. Krishna 1, Krishna point 5,
Krishna point
25,
Krishna point
Haribo! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna point 5, Krishna point 25, Krishna point 125.
If you raise your hand, it doesn't matter.
Haribo! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2. Haribo! Gaur Premanande, Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna point 5, Krishna point 1, Krishna point 125.
Krishna point 05,
Krishna point 05, right next to you.
We have one, I think she might have left, Akshina did Vrindavan Seva.
Haribo! Okay, we'll set one aside for Akshina Mangala. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, 0.5. Loka.
The one more, Radha Kun Seva?
Yeah. Radha Kun Seva?
Yes.
Haribo! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1. Oh, look. Haribo! Actually, we're running out of beads too, and when they're gone, they're really gone. Because actually, what I try to do, and I do, is I bring a gift that it's one of a kind. You'll never get it again. The same access I had to the temples, to the samadhis, to the kuns during Kartik, it will never happen again. And these beads were placed in all these holy spots. So I see a diminishing number. There's a couple of bags left in there. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6.
Haribo!
Haribo!
Sarita?
Go Premanande! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna point 5, Krishna point 25, Krishna point 125,
Krishna point 0.00001.
Haribo.
Did someone raise their hand?
Krishna point one.
You?
Yeah.
Loka.
Krishna 1 billion.
One more Radha Kun Seva.
Radha Kun Seva. Haribo! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1.
Haribo!
Go Premanande. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5, Krishna 0.25, Krishna 0.125, Krishna 0.625.
I have an anonymous sponsor.
For
Radha Kund Seva.
For Radha Kund Seva. Wow. To the anonymous. Hari Bol! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5, 2, Krishna... Hari Bol! Gaur Premanande! Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5, Krishna 0.25. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1. Radha Kund Seva, Gaur Premanande. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2. Radha Kund Seva, Arindama. Gaur Premanande. Krishna 10, Krishna 8, Krishna 7. Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4,
Krishna
3, Krishna 2, Krishna
1,
Krishna 1, Krishna 1, Go Premanande, Nitai Gaura, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura, Hari Bol. Vanchakalpa Dhrubhishcha Kripa Sinnabhi Vicha Patita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo
Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Hey Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman Nachari Armarman